Well, it's good to be back this morning. I'm very glad to be back in God's house today. And if you would turn with me to the book of John, St. John. What? Oh, it's on the web. Okay. St. John chapter 10. We're going to read a little bit of this passage this morning, St. John chapter 10, on the web. If you don't have a Bible, there's one there in front of you. St. John chapter 10, verse 1, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls to his sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. The parable spake Jesus unto them, and they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I said unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not, but for steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it how? More abundantly." Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your beautiful, precious word. Thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful book that you have given us, Lord God, to study, to understand, to preach, Lord God, to live our lives by. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would lead me and guide me this morning as I try to preach your word, O God. Let my thoughts be your thoughts, O God, and may I simply be a vessel through which you speak, O God. In Jesus' name we pray and for your glory. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. You may live, but every day that you live outside of Jesus Christ, you simply move one day closer to death. The children of Israel were given the... I'm being real careful coming down these steps because I tripped a while ago coming down again. I think it's these shoes. At least that's what I'm blaming because I know I'm not that clumsy. At least I don't think I am. The children of Israel were given a promise. Jesus said to them, God said to them, he said, I'm taking you to a land that's flowing in milk and honey. He split the Red Sea so that they could escape from their enemies, and by faith they walked through it. They got to the other side of that sea. They went out into the wilderness for 2 years, and for 2 years he appeared to them every day in a pillar and in a cloud. Every day he was with them. When they didn't have food, he began to give them manna. So whenever they didn't have anything to eat in the mornings, what they did is they went out there with a jar that held about a pint and a half, and they scooped up the manna from off the floor, and that's what they ate all day long. It fed them all day long. One scoop of manna, the Bible says those that went out there with a bucket only got a pint and a half, and those of them went out there with a smaller thing, they only got a pint and a half. Everybody got the same thing, and they all ate off of it for 2 full years. He fed them for 2 full years. He was with them for 2 full years. They didn't have any cares. They didn't have any worries. All they did was work on what God had given them to do. At the end of 2 years, they raised up the temple. God answered by fire, and now he says it's time to take down the temple and go to the land I've given you. They got over there to Kadesh Barnea, and whenever there was time for them to go in, they decided they would send in spies to see if God had lied to them. The sea of God had lied to them. And whenever they figured out that God hadn't lied to them, but they were so afraid to go in that they 10 of the 12 said, we're not going in. We're going to go back to Egypt. We're going to go back to the land where we came from. We're going to go back and be slaves to sin and slaves to Pharaoh and spend the rest of our life building bricks. Whenever they said that's what they're going to do, God said, no, you're not. You're going to wander around in this wilderness. And how many years did they wander? 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And what were they doing out there? They were watching people, because everybody that was 20 and over had to die. They weren't out there with any hope. They weren't out there with any passion. They weren't out there with any expectations of a miracle. All they were doing was walking around a mountain watching people. Because when the last one died, they could quit walking. And all I'm telling you this morning is, if you don't have Jesus Christ as the center of your life, if you don't have Him, I'm not talking about having an acquaintance with Him. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about having a relationship with Him. I'm talking about getting up in the morning. I'm talking about living with Him. I'm talking about reading His Word. I'm talking about having Him as a part of your life in every decision that you make, that you don't make any decisions. You don't buy anything. You don't sell anything. You don't do anything unless you know it's the will of God for you to walk in that avenue. You don't date anybody. You don't marry anybody. You don't get involved with anybody unless you know that they're going to promote you in the cause of Christ. Why? Because He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and every day that you live in Jesus Christ, you move one day closer to life, and life abundantly, and life eternally. But every day you live for the devil, you live one day closer to death. All you're doing is making pancakes, making donuts, waiting for the day that you lay in a box and people come and say nice things over you. But if you know Jesus Christ, then you have life. And you have life more abundantly. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no other way. I don't care. I don't care what anybody else has said. I don't care how many transcendental meditation services you've been to. I don't care how many people have tried to convince you of things that aren't in the book. I don't care how many people tried to teach you how to speak in tongues. I don't care about any of that stuff. All I know is this, that Jesus Christ is the way. And if I can get in Jesus Christ, then all of that other stuff will come together. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will do there. My understanding in the Word of God will be there. My desires will be met. Everything that I need is found in Him. And if I don't have anything else, if I don't have a house, if I don't have a car, if I don't have running water, unless I run and get it, if I don't have indoor plumbing, if I don't have a job, if I don't have anything else, as long as I've got Him, I've got everything I need. Hallelujah. My God, He is the fulfillment of my life. You can go to the deepest, darkest, most poverty-stricken nation in the world. I don't know which one that is, but I'm telling you, you can go there today. And you can find people that are living in third world subhuman conditions. And if you can convince them, and if you can lead them to Jesus Christ, if you can lead them to Jesus Christ, all of a sudden the situation in which they're living doesn't matter, because they know that they've got a God that gives life more abundantly. You don't gain abundant life through houses. You don't gain abundant life through cars. You don't gain abundant life through a big bank account. You don't gain abundant life through a job that you love. You gain abundant life through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ is the only one that can provide a way out. He's the only one that can give peace in the midst of a storm. He's the only one that can bring prosperity out of poverty. He's the only one that can rescue you from the fear of death and bring you into the satisfaction of life. He's the only one that can cause your life to be fulfilled. My God. It's been 2 weeks. I got a lot stored up. Because I'm telling you this morning, Paul talks in the book of Philemon. He mentions a man. His name is Demas. And he says, Demas greets you. He's part of Paul's entourage. He's He's part of what Paul's doing. He's traveling with the greatest apostle that's in the book. He's traveling with the man that wrote 13 out of the 27 books of the New Testament. He's traveling with a man who came to the... Listen to this. They came to the city of Troas. And Paul shows up to have a little get-together. They're going to have a meal, because all of us Pentecostals, we have to have a meal. So they were having a meal, and Paul starts talking. And Paul gets so enthusiastic about the things that God has done that the Bible says he was long speaking. How long was he speaking? Well, about midnight, a guy named Eutychus fell out of a window because he fell asleep. And he cracked his head on the concrete. And Paul had to go down there and resurrect him from the dead. And then Paul came up there and started telling him again about things that God had done until the sun came up. Now, I know you love me, but I don't think you would stay here all night till the sun came up. Come about midnight, you're going to be ready to go to the house. We'll have lots of Eutychuses. We can't have it on the third floor. We'll have to have it here so you can lay under the pew or something. But Paul's talking about Jesus Christ was so exciting that the disciples stayed with him all night long. And not only did they stay with him all night long, but they saw a man whose name is Eutychus, which means lucky. They saw old Lucky fall out of the window, and Lucky was lucky that Paul was there, because they saw Paul raise somebody from the dead through Jesus Christ. All I'm saying is this: why would you want to suck on a lemon of old, dead, dry religion that offers you nothing but a taste of death, whenever you can be revitalized and rejuvenated and empowered and fired up by the Spirit of God, because I've got a lion inside of my lungs, and whenever I begin to worship the Lord, I feel a stirring into my innermost being, and I feel the power of God as it begins to shake everything it can shake and move everything it can move. And I'm telling you, you get the Spirit of God moving in your gut, you'll know you're alive. I don't care if you're laying on a bed sick of affliction. You get the Spirit of God stirring in there, and you'll know you're alive. Because I'm not looking to die. You hear me? I'm not looking to die. And I know if Jesus doesn't come, I will die. But I'm not looking to die. I'm looking for life. I'm looking for eternity. I'm looking for healing. I'm looking for deliverance. I'm looking for faith. I'm looking for power. I'm looking for anointing, because the one I serve, he has no shadow of turning. There is no darkness in his world. He has no shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect light comes down from the Father above, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I'm telling you today, if your life seems dark, if your life seems dreary, if it seems like no matter what you do, it doesn't bring you happiness, then happiness is only found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Happiness is only found whenever you feel that spot in your spirit that God left called a seed, and you allow that seed to be filled with the power of God. Then what you'll find is that it's joy, unspeakable and full of glory. My God. Peter's on his way to a cross. He says, I must shortly put off this tent. The Lord has showed me that I must shortly put off this tent. He was on his way to die. But yet he said, I find my religion to be joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. Peter was so in love with Jesus, had such high regard for Christ, that tradition tells us that when it was time for Peter to die, because Peter was not a Roman, he was going to be crucified. And Peter proclaimed, it's not right that I die in the same mode as my Savior. And so tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because of his refusal to die in the same way as Jesus died. Paul, let me read you what Paul's last words are this morning. 2 Timothy Let me read you Paul's last words. Paul says this: at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And now I'm ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. And I want to tell you today, church, that the only way you can have that kind of peace, the only way you can have that kind of life, the only way you can have that kind of anointing, the only way you can have those things is if you have gone through the door and you have become part of Jesus' pasture, and he is your shepherd, and you hear his voice, and you know his voice, and you're willing to follow him. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and those that follow him shall have life, but they shall have life more abundantly, because the part of them that lives is the part of them that is eternal. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have life. If I had hope in this life only, I would be of all men most miserable, but I have life in an eternal Savior who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, whether I live or whether I die, no matter who gets in the White House or who gets in the governor's mansion or who gets in whatever political position there is, no matter what the economy does, and one of these days, I'm going to tell you, this economy's not... No matter what the economy does, no matter what life does, no matter what this world does, I just want to tell you this morning. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for gates of pearl, because I'm following the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. And there is no other way. There is no other name. There is no other name. There is no other name given among men whereby we can be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is not the love of your life, if you love the Dallas Cowboys or the Houston Texans more than you love Jesus Christ, then he says you don't love me. If you love the Republicans or the Democrats more than you love Jesus Christ, then you don't love him. That, it got quiet on that one. He says, if you love father and mother more than me, you don't love me. And what that means is, if you would not do the will of God because of your father, because of your mother, then that means you don't love him. Elisha had gotten to the point in his... Am I preaching too long? If I get to preaching too long, then one of you just hold your watch up or something, because I'm fired up. I don't know if you can tell. Elisha's out there plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Now, 12 in the Bible means complete. There was 12 sons of Israel. It means complete. Elisha had reached the pinnacle of what he wanted to do. He was a businessman. He had 11 people working underneath him, and he was plowing with the 12th yoke of oxen. He was a businessman. He had met the pinnacle of his career. He was exactly where he wanted to be. He was making money. He had finances. Everything in his life was wonderful. There was nothing he hadn't seen, nothing he hadn't done. Everything was perfect. He had reached the very pinnacle of his career. And then one day, Elijah, hang on just a second, I don't want to make a racket. Elijah came to town, and he walked over there, told Elisha, and he took his mantle off, and he threw it on him. And Elisha had to make a choice. Am I going to continue in what I have worked my life for, or am I going to follow this prophet? And Elisha ran to Elijah and said, let me first go tell my father and mother goodbye. And Elijah said, what have I done to you? What was he saying? He was saying, if you're going to let them hold you back, then you're not the man I wanted. If you're going to let them hold you back, then I threw my mantle on the wrong guy. And Elisha, in order to prove that he was walking away from it all, took those 12 yoke of oxen and he sacrificed them on an altar. What does that mean? That means he sold his business. He took those oxen that he was making his business by and he sacrificed on an altar. And for the next several years of his life, I'm not sure how many, but for the next several years of his life, he gave up being a rich man. He gave up being a businessman. He gave up everything that he ever wanted. He gave up the pinnacle of his success. He gave up everything to do what? To pour water on the hands of a prophet. To be his servant. To take care of everything he needed. And whenever it got time for him to be resurrected, for Elisha to take his place, first place they went is to Jericho. And whenever they started to leave there, Elijah said what? You stay here while I go worship yonder. And Elijah says, no way. What was he saying? What was he doing? He was testing him. Okay, now we're going to walk over here. You look how far they walked in a day. They walked many miles, and he walked to the next place, and he says, you stay here, then I'm going over here. And Elisha said, no way. Why did they come back over here? And got to that place, and oh, Elijah, he took that mantle, and he walked over to that old Jordan River, and he smote that water, and that Bible says that that water parted hither and thither. And he walked across on dry ground, Elisha right on his heels. If Elijah would have stopped, Elisha would have knocked him down, right on his heels. And they got over there the other side, and Elijah looked at him and he said, what do you want, son? He said, I want a double portion of what you got. He said, what? You've asked a hard thing. But if you see me when I leave, you see, Elisha gave it all up. He gave up the business. He gave up the family. He gave everything up. He gave up being the boss. He came up being the owner. He gave up all his money. He gave it all up to pour water on the hands of a prophet. And after several years of pouring water, being a servant to a prophet, after being a servant to the prophet, he decided that God decided it was time for him to be elevated. And so whenever Elisha came back, he caught that mantle. As you remember the story, the horses and the chariots of Israel came through and it divided them. And when it divided them, then Elijah went up in a whirlwind. Y'all remember this story? Elijah went up in a whirlwind. His mantle comes floating down. Elijah picks it up. He walks over to that Jordan River. And what does he say? Where is the God of Elijah? And when he struck that river, the river parted. And miracle number one of 16 began. Why did it begin? Because he was willing to make God his all in all. He left it all. He gave it all up to follow Jesus Christ in type. And all I'm telling you this morning is that if you're going to be what God wants you to be, then you got to be willing to walk away from everything. There is no other God but one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Love him with all your soul, and love him with all your strength. What does that mean? That means that I will spend and gladly be spent doing what God has given me to do, even if I do trip and fall on the platform. Even if I do get older. Even no matter what the cause is. I'm going to tell you that whenever I accepted the call of Jesus Christ, I accepted it till death do us part. Doesn't mean I'll always be here. Doesn't mean I'll always be preaching. Doesn't mean I'll always be pastoring. But it does mean that I'll always be in wherever He wants me to be. If it's in the United States, if it's in Greece, if it's in Europe, if it's in Africa, wherever it is, we're going to be where God wants us to be. Why? Because I signed on with Him for life. Woo! Stand with me this morning. I got to quit. I'm going to wear you out. You're not going to want to come back. I think we got about 25 meetings this afternoon at 5 o'clock, so just come at 5 and pick one you'd like to be a part of. Actually, we have VBS meeting at 5. We have a board meeting at 5. What else do we have at 5? Is that it? 6 o'clock church. Come be a part of that. Make Jesus Christ the center of your life. Make Him the Lord of what you do. And you'll live life more abundantly. You'll live life more abundantly in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, I pray that I have rightly delivered your word today. God, I pray, Father God, that you've been glorified through me, Father. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for using me because I enjoy it so much. But God, I pray this morning that more than me enjoying it, Lord God, that you have touched, you have delivered, that you have promised, oh God, that you have done great works, oh God. Rest our bodies this afternoon, Lord, and bring us back the appointed hour. And we give you praise in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Shake hands, be friendly. God bless you. We'll see you back tonight. 6 o'clock.